My name is Mike Morgan.
Good morning. I'm Mike Morgan, minister of the Culpeper Church of Christ. Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is, Be Not Anxious. Our text, Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. As we continue our study of Matthew chapter 6, let us be careful not to let the chapter divisions separate our discussion from the Beatitudes in chapter 5. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts his disciples to lay up treasures in heaven by helping others. Keep your eye good. Guard what you allow to influence your inner man. And make God your master, and you will not be able to serve another master. But if we do what Jesus says, what about the future here on earth? If we lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth, how will we provide for our future? Where will our physical necessities like food and clothing come from? In Daniel Defoe's classic novel, Robinson Crusoe was stranded on a desert island for 28 years. Reflecting on his circumstances, he said, I sat down to my meal with thanksgiving and admired the hand of God's providence which had thus spread my table in the wilderness. I learned to look more on the bright side of my condition and less on the dark side, and to consider what I had rather than what I wanted. And this at times gave me such secret comfort that I cannot express them. All our discontents about what we want appear to me to spring from the want of thanksgiving for what we have. How can we keep from worrying about the things of the future? Beginning in Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus establishes two important principles that are crucial to winning the war over worry. The first is, have faith in God's providence. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry, be anxious about your life. The word anxious literally means distracted, full of care. Have you ever been engaged in some activity and become distracted? Suppose you're reading the Bible or praying and you become distracted. What happens? Well, you lose your focus. It's like you're being pulled in two directions. In Luke 10, we have the account of Mary and Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. The King James and American Standard Version says anxious and troubled. Why did he add the second word? Because that is a characteristic of anxiety. Can we not see the distractions and divided situation Martha found herself in? Jesus said, but one thing is needed. Mary was focused on one thing. Look at the contrast between many things and one thing. Look at the anxiety and trouble that accompanies distractions. Have you ever gone to bed not knowing which direction to go, struggling to make a decision? Were you able to get a good night's sleep? When we are pulled in two directions, it's difficult to make up our minds. There is confusion and turmoil on the inside. But once you make a decision about the direction you're going to take, the stress, distraction, and being pulled in different directions is gone. The way we think affects the way we live. We must learn to avoid being distracted and torn apart. The way to do this is by having a single or good eye, Matthew 6, verse 22. Having a single or good eye helps in our concentration. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It did not mean that Paul was engaged in only one activity, but there was one controlling principle in his life. How could Paul and Silas pray and sing hymns to God at midnight? In the midst of persecution, how could Paul say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, "Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The answer? There was one master controlling principle of his life. Everything else was brought into subjection to it. Having a single or good eye also helps in our contentment. Paul said, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." When we are committed to living a Christ-like life through faithful obedience to God's Word, then there is a contentment and a peace that passes all human understanding. When we live day by day, hour by hour, and minute by minute for the glory of God, then we will get rid of anxiety and worry. Jesus said, "Do not worry, be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Ordinary thought or care is not forbidden. The Bible teaches that if a man will not work, he should not eat. 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 10. Paul worked with his own hands to provide for his own needs and the needs of others. Acts chapter 20. Jesus is not talking about Christians neglecting their responsibility towards their own needs. Jesus cautions his disciples about being anxious, over-careful for the necessary things of life, food, clothing, and shelter. The world gives special emphasis to these three things. In fact, these become the object of great affection and interest. Is not life more than food and clothing? This is talking about priorities, putting things in their proper perspective. Avon Malone said, "A life without God is reduced to paychecks, weekends, and cheap thrills." Is not our life more than meal to meal and paycheck to paycheck? The argument is this: will not God, who has given the greater gifts, physical life and the body, also provide the lesser, food and clothing? To prove that God will provide in His own way the necessary things for the body, He said, "Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Why did Jesus select the birds? He could have selected any animal to illustrate the point, but it would not have made the point that the birds make. Squirrels hoard food. Dogs bury bones. Birds live from day to day. Can you imagine a flock of birds worrying about where they will get a worm tomorrow? Do you think that we'll ever run out of worms? The crown of God's creation is man and woman. Everything was created for them. If the birds, which neither sow nor reap nor store away, are cared for by God, how much more will He care for His disciples who put their trust in Him? Just as God provides for the birds, He has provided through the endowments He has given us, the ability to work, the means to sustain the body. The next time we begin to worry about what we are going to eat,
or drink or wear, let's stop and think about the birds. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? The American Standard Version says, the measure of his life. No one, through worry, can increase their height. Can we extend the years of our lives by worrying? Some people worry about their health all the time, and in the process make themselves sick. Jesus cites this illustration to reinforce the principle that man must trust in God, and God will take care of him. Jesus said, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Toiling and spinning represent worrying. Anxiety about clothing falls into two categories. Will it be sufficient? And will it be fashionable, popular, and stylish? Perhaps more attention is given to clothing than to any of the three necessary things of physical life. How much of our stress comes from what other people think about what we wear? Now, this does not mean that we are not to give the proper attention to our dress. But do we have to have the latest fashions? The lilies of the field are some of the most beautiful on the face of the earth. Yet they do not worry or work at their appearance. Solomon, with all of his money, was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon's glory was external, while the flowers are a part of nature and develop from within. All should dress in as neat and attractive way as their circumstances will permit. But to give so much attention to and be anxious for clothing is a violation of the principle that Jesus has laid down. Now, if God so arrayed or clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe or care for you? God has beautifully dressed the fields and flowers. If God can do that with something He intends to quickly destroy, will He not provide for His children's needs even better? It is not possible to overstate the concern that God has for His people. Job rhetorically asked, "Does He not see my ways and number all my steps?" Job 31, verse 4. David said, "You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Psalm 56, verse 8. God's interest in the sparrow is proof of His concern for those who serve Him. Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31. Does God think more of me than He does the flowers, which is today and tomorrow is gone? Surely He does. To believe that God does not care for us is a lack of faith. Notice, Jesus did not say, "You do not have any faith," but He said, "O you of little faith." It is a lack of sufficient faith. In contrast to the word faith, think about the word imagination. How many of our problems develop out of our imagination? Just imagine what might happen. Our imagination can take over when our faith in God wavers. The more the mind visualizes, the greater the worry. And think about the relief when things are not as bad as we imagined. We have all been through turmoils in our lives. What would have avoided a lot of the stress and strain? Well, there are two marvelous verses found in Psalm 56 that give us the answer. Psalm 56, verse 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I won't imagine things,
but put the situation in the Lord's hands. And Psalm 56, verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The psalmist's fears turns to trust. I will quit imagining things and trust the Lord. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He has already told us why. God will take care of these things. Jesus goes on, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. It is foolish to say that God does not know or that He does not care about His children's needs. It is also foolish to say that God is powerless to do anything about it because He is supreme in power. He made us. He knows our needs and promises to help everyone who loves Him. No, God's promise of provision is only for those who trust and obey. God has not missed a single thing. He knows about every single need we have. We can let go of any concern and seek something vastly more important. Jesus is talking about distinctive Christianity in these verses. According to Franklin Camp, distinctive Christianity is to eat, to drink, and to dress for the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard it said that someone eats and drinks football? Well, that means they live for football. The Christian, we as Christians, we eat in view of the kingdom. Therefore, I will take care of the temple of God. The beverages we consume are in the light of the kingdom, and we dress in view of the kingdom of God. We are to shun every appearance of evil. Is there any difference in our attitude towards the things of the world compared to the non-Christian? What is our attitude towards material things? Are we as anxious and concerned about the material things of this life as are non-Christians? Do we live for the kingdom of God? If we do, it affects every aspect of our lives. My friends, these are disturbing questions that get down to the heart of the matter. The second principle that is crucial to winning the war over worry is to make God's will our number one priority. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek means to search for, strive for, aim. His kingdom should be the chief aim of all Christians. It should be first in time and first in importance. Why are we here this morning? I used to think because of the fellowship, encouragement, and strength we receive from our brothers and sisters. But you know, that's not right. Our primary reason for being here is to worship God. We are gathered together because it is a command of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Fellowship is an added benefit. We should seek not to accumulate food and clothes or hoard wealth, but the things which belong to the kingdom of God. Righteousness is the central idea in this sermon. It is impossible for a person to be righteous while at the same time anxious about food and clothing. Is the kingdom of God the compulsion of my life? Does the kingdom of God affect the way we live? Is it the driving force of our lives? Do we search for, crave, and demand the things of God? Is the kingdom of God an unceasing quest in our lives? If the answer is no, we need to repent quickly
and turn back to our first love. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It has been said that we cannot handle yesterday's troubles and anticipate tomorrow's troubles and deal with today's responsibility. God did not make us this way. Tomorrow is something we must deal with when it gets here. Worry about it then. We cannot change it. The mistakes of yesterday are gone. Correct them if possible. The problems of tomorrow have not yet arrived, so let's just wait for them. What we should do is meet the challenges of today. How important is it that we live one day at a time? The only way we can live one day at a time is through faithful obedience to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. There are 8 main points Jesus is making about worry. Number 1, worry is unavailing. It does not accomplish anything. Worrying is worthless. Number 2, worry is unnecessary. Why worry about things that God will take care of? 3, worry is unbecoming. God's children are not showing a very good example to the world when they worry or are anxious. Remember, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing." Philippians 4, verse 6. Number 4, worry is illogical. It cannot add quality or longevity to one's life. 5, worry is impractical. It is what those who have no covenant relationship with the Lord do. 6, worry is distrustful. God intends more for those made in His image than mere physical existence. Christians must seek first God's kingdom, knowing that He will supply our needs. Number 7, worry is distractive. All problems do not have to be dealt with instantly or at the same time. Handle life's difficulties one day at a time. And finally, worry is futile. Wayne Jackson said, "These principles are not a magic formula that makes pain and heartaches vanish. If these concepts are absorbed into the pores of our souls, they can elicit a quality of character that makes human existence much more delightful as we play out Earth's temporary drama." Thank you so much for studying God's Word with us.